All right, so you know what? We're not going to stop giving you good radio. Right now, we got a gentleman on the phone. His name is Anthony Fulton. We call him Tone. You know, Anthony. Tone is short for Anthony. Mm-hmm. He's an OG, man, and he has a story to tell. And when I say that, you think of Biggie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he really has a story to tell, and I think it's going to be good for everybody. So let's pull him up.
Yo, Tone, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother, man.
All right, man. Listen, let me give you the clap first, man. That's what we do. We try to greet our guests, and thank you for being on here.
That's a shot of confidence.
Yeah. Tone, we didn't mean to put you on hold like that, man. And
all right. That was beautiful. Boom.
Yeah, I do want to say, man, you know, we really like callers that call in early, man. You was on point, man, so we respect that. Shout out to Smooth, Gary Dempsey, man. Gary Dempsey had came to me, and he said to me that, you know, Tone Fulton, he has a story. He want to tell it. And I said, Smooth, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? I'll talk to Slay, but I know Slay going to say no doubt because this is community radio. Ray going to say no doubt, community radio. I want to know, why did you want to tell this story here, Tone?
Well, first of all, I'd like to give a shout-out to you, Vern Cross, the great Vern Cross.
Oh, wait. Hold on, Tone. I'm the great?
Yeah. The great. Yeah, the great. You're doing a lot of good things for the community. You know, I'm blessed to know you as a friend, man. We've known each other for coming up, you know, your family and my family, and we all family, you know.
Yes,
so
sir.
I want to give a shout to you. And I also want to give a shout to Gary Dempsey for getting in touch with you so I can tell my story about what's happening, man. And, you know, it's just a story that I got to give. And everywhere I go, I'm going to give my story so I can help somebody, man. So they don't have to go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about growing up in Hudson, man. Like, start your story off like you were growing up, and then we'll get to the next level.
Oh, okay. Growing up in Hudson was, you know, it was different back in them days. We was all family. You know, if we messed up, we got to be careful about the neighbor's mom getting us. And the whole neighborhood raised us. So, you know, we would all come together and just be brothers, man. We had fun, man. We had fun. Going to boys' club, you know, coming up. And, you know, I thought we had a great laughing all the time, me and Gary, laughing and just laughing and laughing. It was a ball. And then I got to an age where I tried to experience something, and wow, did it take me on a world of trouble, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a great childhood, I really have to say that, with my friends, you know. And they all doing pretty good today, you know. I get in touch with them all the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So at what age did you, like, you know, at first it was fun and you was just having fun and growing up, but at what age did you take a turn, which later on in hindsight led it to the worst?
Yes, when I look back on it, it was about maybe 23, I experienced some, you know, with smoking weed, and then I experienced, it was back in them days. It wasn't crack. It was called a free base. So I experienced free base. I was like 23, and that's when it started. That's when it started for me, man. And I've been on the road for 30 years of damage, and everything in my way, man. Just damage due to uses of drugs, mainly crack cocaine. You know, I know it's a better person than that, Vern. But, you know, it just, I was in the grips. I mean, deep in the grips. So that's when it started at 23. And I'm 58 right now, so do the math.
I got
about 2.5 years clean right now.
Okay, let me give you the clap for that, man, because we love to hear stuff like that, man, and we want to celebrate, though. Let me give you a clap.
I love it.
You love the clap? Yeah. Yo, Tone, let me tell you something, man. I tried to change the name of the clap to the applause, but the fellas don't like that. They say we got to stick with the clap. And now that you solidified the clap, man, I'm not even going to go. I'm going to keep it as the clap.
Okay.
All right, so Tone, talk about some of the times of, like, you know, when you were on your highest compared to your lowest. Because, I mean, at 23, you know, you probably moving around. I'm imagining that you felt like even though you were using, you still was in control. Like, at what point did you feel like, you know what, now this substance is in control?
Yes, you know, you always start off, well, I'm keeping an eye. I thought I was in control. Hiding it, you know, using drugs, have a good job. Always had a good job. But when the job get over with, I go do my thing. And it gets turned, it built, it's a cycle. It's going to take you down the road that you don't want to go. Mm-hmm. Nobody want to travel this road. And, you know, so I had control of it, Vern. And then it blew out of control like a wildfire. And it was out of control big time. And, you know, I started losing every job I had. I started losing it and losing it and losing it and go get another job and losing it. So it became out of control. And I knew it was out of control. And I was in the grips. And you know, when I get down to my lowest after I get done using, I'm feeling real bad, real depressed, all type of loneliness, worthless. And then I go right back. Going right back to buy more drugs. You know, so it was out of control, very very fast for me, very fast.
Slay, I want you to help me out, Aunt Ray. Is it because of it is a chemical imbalance, or just because the drug is just so strong in the system that it allows you to it pretty much makes you do those things, like thinking that you're done with it and you just say, I'm going back.
I think that's one of the biggest things when you're dealing with drugs is that the addiction to the feeling. Some drugs like such as cigarettes, they don't consider it a drug, but there's a chemical imbalance that creates that addiction. Mm. But when you're addicted to that feeling and that euphoric state that you become into when you're dealing with, especially with hardcore drugs, it's something that is hard to escape, and your body tends to crave it once you've had a long period of dealing with it. To my knowledge, you know.
And once your body, you know, creates a dependency for it, that means, you know, you're in for a long road.
I want to tell y'all, and Tone, you verify this. I want to tell y'all, me growing up, I always seen Tone as the OG. Tone taught me a lot of things about the streets, you know, and one of the things about being from New York is you got to know how to play dice. Tone, and this honest God truth, like, y'all know I was a basketball player. So if I was playing basketball, Tone was always supportive. But Tone was the kind of guy that would tell you, like, hey, if you don't belong here, don't come here, and I'm going to show you why you don't belong here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we, you know, they'd be playing dice. I got my little job money from summer job. I want to get in the game. And Tone take, boom. But he fair and square, and it taught me a lesson, you know. It was so I always seen Tone as like a OG, like somebody that I could talk to. He see me, he say good things to me. So for me to know these things is kind of surprising because Tone, you always had a demeanor that seemed like you was totally in control.
I love kids, man, and I still love them to this day. So I always hid that from a lot of people, and you didn't know that. I will never show you that. I was always trying to be a mentor for the kids. Always for younger brothers like you growing up. You know, I wouldn't want you to see me out there doing that. And I never showed you guys that. So, you know, I would go hide in the house and stay away until I get sobered up. Then come back out in the streets. You know, it was a mask. It was a mask. And I didn't want nobody to know the real me. You know, because I was just... Well, it goes back to my childhood, how I was using what happened in the house with me, you know, father issues and stuff like that. But I did a study on, it's called Nature versus Nurture. And I got a bachelor's degree, by the way.
Okay, wait, let me give you a clap, son, man. I gotta give you a clap. Gotta give you the clap, though.
And I tell you, the best way to go to school is just study, study, study. And when the test comes, you got all the answers right in your brain. But, you know, getting back to, I did a study called Nature versus Nurture Study. Nature is nature. It comes from there. You got to be honest with yourself. It's your mother, a grandfather, a uncle, or late addict. And you got that gene inside your body. Or the other part is nurture. Did you learn it from the street environment? So if you got the gene in your body, if you don't touch it, you all right. As soon as you touch that drug, that drink or whatever, you're off to the races. You're going to turn into an addict just like the rest of your family members. And, you know, it's not every case, you know that.
Yeah.
It's definitely all rude. But somebody might say, my family, they ain't addicts. But that person is an addict. So they learned it from the streets, from the environment. So that's what they, and I couldn't find out it's true. You know, even looking at my family, there's a lot of addicts there. And that's what it is. If I don't touch it, it can't hurt me. But once I touch it, it takes off. It takes off so bad. And it progresses. You might be doing it once or twice. Then you're doing it four times. Then you're doing it eight times. Then you're doing it 16 times. And it goes all the way up. It just don't stop. And it takes, when you're using, it just takes away. You're not eating right. You know, I wasn't eating right. You know, all that. And we're going to get into that later on because I have diabetes.
Okay.
I'm a full-blown diabetic and they just amputated my leg. That down the road. I became clean and on my last bit. I said, that's it. I'm not doing this no more. And I'm going to school to get my KSAT. And I came right out of there. And while I was doing the time, I read all college books and no entertainment books. Got deep down into myself, the bandit guy when I was young, little Tony, yeah, you're going to be all right, man. And I came out well. My family is beautiful. My wife and my son, they stuck with me through this whole mess, especially my wife. We've got 18 years together.
That's what's up. Let me give you the clap, man. I love black love, man. Let me give you the clap, man.
That's a beautiful thing. That's gonna put a smile on anybody's face.
Yeah, so Tone, hold on, Tone. I want to go back, man, because I want to do something that we shouldn't do, but you know, sometimes we think about, you know, there's these systematic things that say people involved with drugs, the next thing that happens is either they end up dead or in jail. Did you have any time that you had to, did you break a law and had to go to jail or anything like that?
Oh, man, Brian, I hate to say this, but I got to be honest. I did six state bids.
Six?
You know, you're supposed to be a three-time loser, and you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I did six state bids, 1-3, a 2.5-5, a 3.5-7, a 4.5-9, a 2.5-5. I did all these bids. All behind. Isn't that wild, man?
Yeah.
Somebody there, you know, and in there you got the Bloods, you got the Crips, you got Latinos, you got all these gangs, man, and they want to try to suck you in. But I never got into bar with none of that. They always liked to be like, that Tone, man, that Tone, what's up, Tone? I had the same positive attitude. I never got involved with them gangs. But, you know, to have 16 bids and come out, that's very special. God is telling me that he want me outside here to help his kids that's in trouble. That's what I got the message from, you know. There's a reason why I'm out here.
I want to piggyback that, Tone. Just hold tight because I want to talk to the fellas and you at the same time. Here we have a guy that said at 23 that he developed a problem. Mm-hmm. And he admits that he had a problem and it took control of him. And he does six state bids. But we're talking about now, with this same type of epidemic, there's people that are not going to prison. It's no longer a crime. It's a disease.
Yeah.
You know, so we're talking about old school. You know what I'm saying? Right. But what do you think, Slay? I know you talk about the heroin epidemic and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to go better, worse, or whatever, but can we grasp our thoughts around the people that are saying, hey, when our people and our family was going through this, you sent them to jail.
Yeah. It was rehab. Yeah.
You know, and he admitted at 23, he went the wrong way. So what do you think, Slay?
I think that's, you know, usually the start of the conversation when you have that conversation at a higher level, especially around minorities, where, you know, people always start the conversation and say, you know, when this was crack, you know, it was different. Or when this was just in the black communities, it was different. And I think we have to get past that. Even though it's extremely true, when we keep dwelling on that, it's like we're saying, like, okay, well, now we don't need the help anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, people always say, like, oh, now that it's, you know, in suburbia and it's, you know, all over white America, now it's an issue. Even though it's been an issue, it's still an issue in our community, and it's something that we still need to deal with.
I see what you're saying. I like that. I'm going to give, hey, Tone, I got to give Slade a clap, man, because that he killed that. Yeah, he killed that right there. I got to go. let me let Ray give his two cents, because I know Ray has something to say.
Yeah, actually this hits very close to home for me, because my dad and Pop was no stranger to you know, running around and doing what he was doing or whatever the case may be. It was to the point where him and my mom got into it because she feared for my safety, because my dad would take me the way he was getting it from. So just listening to Tone speak and talk about how, you know, he suffered with the addiction for so long, and he had to kind of find a way to get out of it. Pop Blue had to go through the same thing, so this is hitting right close to home. I know exactly what he means, and that my pop could have got me taken away 4, 5, 6 years old. I'm on his back because I went everywhere he went, and including where he went to go get his drugs from. You know what I mean? This is huge that you was able to kind of, you know, overcome these major obstacles and be able to kind of come out of it, and now have the opportunity to tell your story, to kind of give somebody else that bigger picture. Like, yo, you know, this is not the way, this is not the move. I lost a lot, you know, and learn from it. Somebody can learn from an elder to, you know, not make those same mistakes. That's huge.
Ray, I got to get ready to clap, man. We clapping up in here, yo.
Boy, you cut off with this guy, man.
He said you cut off.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you, man.
Man, thanks. And Tony, you know what? I'm glad you called me the great, man. We was having little problems up in here.
Whoa,
but I'm great.
Don't let nobody take that from you,
man. Oh, thank you, Tony. So, I want to keep it moving, man, because I know you got so much more to tell. I want to talk about, you know, because you told us you did these prison stints, but what were the charges? Did you ever, like, was it anything that, like, you know, maybe, like I said, again, I don't want to use that quote-unquote, but the system says, you know, sometimes when people are on drugs, they steal, or, you know, they do these things. Did you ever have anything like that happen, or?
Yeah, all of them, all 6 minutes was behind death. They were non-violent, always stealing. And I like what the brother mentioned before. Right now, you get a program automatic. You got a problem with drugs. Back then, we went to jail, went to prison. So the first one was for, believe it or not, was down in New York City. And we started, I see this guy with his nice coat. And I wanted it. I wanted it, you know. And that was around that age, 23. So I ended up snatching the coat, and let it be known that they chased me down. They jumped, the cop jumped out of the car, and that was my first big 1-3 for stealing a coat. And, isn't that something?
Damn, tell me, how much was that coat?
Yeah, it was a nice coat. Oh, right. You know, I've been talking about, you know, it was a foolish move, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do it. I lost my money shooting dice, and I thought I was going to get the coat to make them more money. Anyway, I get out of there, and I started using crack. That's when I started using crack. Yeah, and I used the crack, and before I know it, I'm stealing for the crack, and I get caught for grand larceny, sneaking in the back rooms of the malls and sneaking pocketbooks out, taking money out of pocketbooks, and I got caught for that. So I got 2.5 to 5, and then I come out, and I said I was going to do the right thing, and I get caught up in Lake George with $5,000 worth of stolen goods. Mind you, now I'm doing all this to get the money.
Yeah.
For the drug.
That's what I was going to say. All this is being engineered by that dependency that we talked about. That's like, right. I got to get these drugs.
Yeah, get these drugs. That's right. So we come around the third. That was my third bid. Then I go in. I meet Kevin Rooney.
Oh, Kevin Rooney.
Yeah, I meet Kevin Rooney, and, you know, he's a Tyson trainer. So when I get out, you know, we from Hudson, Catskill is right there. And first we started, he was a recce, and we started a boxing program inside the jail. So, you know, I'm coming out with high fly colors. You know I'm going to meet Mike Tyson. I ended up sparring with him two times. I used to get in the ring with him. He said, so you jab, don't watch it. So you jab. Then I get out. Bam, we tear the next guy up. And then we all sit there drinking water. They said, Mike, why you never go up on Tony, man? And he said, Tony make me laugh. I'm glad I made him laugh, boy. It's an honor. I got pictures with him. And I show my son, you know, it's an honor. He said, you got pictures of Mike Tyson. Said, no, Mike Tyson got pictures of me.
Okay.
Yeah, but I lost that career. I come out, and I'm using drugs again. Here I'm sparring with this other guy, Kevin Rooney, the referee, and four bags of coke hit the ground. And it's a mat. And, you know, I got the gloves on. I can't pick them up. So Kevin picked them up. Kevin picked them up and said, Pope, were you using drugs, man? And I said, that ain't mine. I left that in my sister left that in my pants pocket. He's lying. I could have said, yeah, I need some help, man. Right there, I could have got help. Mm-hmm. So, make it long story short, I'm selling cocaine now. Think I'm the man. Sell to come down the high rise. And I'm paranoid because I use drugs. And the cop there, Duffy, the cop is right there. You know, I sold 17 bags of drugs right in front of the cop, thinking that I'm so paranoid, thinking that they're coming for me. They get me up in the police station. We were going on the fifth floor. We wasn't even coming for you. You crazy guy. And the next register star, a man sold coke in front of the cop. You know, that was another bit I had to do. You know, and I got out of it, and it was drugs. Started using again, and the grip of using. All 6 bids were from stealing. You know, I got my other bid from selling drugs. But my stealing, it became a habit too. It became like a drug. I got to steal. You know, I got to steal, and it was bad. I thought I was invisible, going in Walmart, filling up the car, and going right out the store. And I'm getting away with it a lot of times. So now I really think I got it, you know. And it's using all the money. One time I made $10,000 in 4 weeks, and I'm telling this guy, he said, how much did you give your son? Oh, he hit me so hard in the heart, and I didn't give my son a penny. So that was really hurting feelings, you know. I didn't give him a penny. So, and the last bit I did, did it for me. It made me what an MBA. I just got into reading books about drugs and where it takes you and all that. But I got deep down in my side and said, enough is enough. I came out and I went to college to do to get my KSAT so I can help people. Mm-hmm. And you know, went down there, man, they've been in school in 35 years and got A's and B's, man. Got two A's and one B in that, man. And I was happy, man. Then I got out.
I gotta give you a clap, Tony. Hold on. I gotta give you a clap, man. A's and B's, I gotta give you a clap, man. Let me give it to you.
All right, yeah, I need it. As an old man. So I changed, Vernon. I came home. My family was right there. My son is 14 years old. And you know, I've been the father of his birthday that's it, out of all 14 years. And I said, I wasn't doing that no more. I'm gonna be there for everyone. He accepted me for who I am. He knew who I am. You know, and then the diabetes. I had diabetes, wasn't diagnosed with it. I had it and wasn't taking medicine for it because I didn't know I had it. And now all my veins was like smushed together, and they ended up amputating my leg below my leg. And I went to the doctor today for my other right leg that's good, and they have no poke in that leg. So that means they're going to amputate that one too. But that's not an all man. That's just the way it is. You know, I did all that damage, all that smoking, all that damage to myself. Mm-hmm. And you got prosthetic legs. I'm going to get two prosthetic legs. And, you know, I'm not going to let that slow me down. Yes, I want to go into schools. I want to go out to rehab. I've been going to rehab now, telling my story and getting stand over. And just, it feels good. This side is a natural high. It's way better than all. I wasted 30 years of that stuff. So now I'm on this other side. So I wake up every day. When I wake up, I thank the Lord. It don't matter if I don't have no legs. I got my family and I got my soul, and I'm not using drugs today.
Mm-hmm. I got to give you a huge clap for that one, man. Wow. Yeah. You got us in here looking at each other like, oh, my God. I wanted to talk to you about that, man. I want to talk to you about two things pertaining to that. Talk about the diabetes and stuff like that. But then I also want to talk to you about your family support. You say you've been with your wife for 18 years. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it had to be tough on her, you know, and everything. So I want you to talk about both of those things.
Yeah, you're bringing a lot of feelings to me when I think about her.
I'm sorry, Tom, but, you know, I'm trying to get this in.
It is what it is, man. I got to keep it real, you know. With her, her family is of a middle class. You know, she worked for the state. And, you know, they was always asking her, why did you keep taking them back? And I didn't understand why she was taking them back. She'd take me back, Vern. And then I go right back out and do the same thing. And she will be right there, man. She's a special woman, man. Beautiful woman. And, you know, we had a son together.
Can I give it a clap to him?
Yeah,
because you know what? It's a lot of relationship breaking up for text messages and likes on IG. If she stuck it out with you, I got to give her a clap, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's official.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. You needed that. Now, we're going to the diabetes, man. Diabetes, like I said, I wasn't diagnosed to 10 years ago, but I had it for... like the doctor said, this was decades and decades ago that I had this disease, and I didn't know it. So if you don't know it, you know, I'm not taking no insulin for it because I don't know I got it. So I'm eating all type of Dunkin' Donuts and ice cream and, you know, using drugs, the whole shit. Just stimulating the whole stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, then when they diagnosed me, I still was using drugs. And didn't care, diabetes, not going to catch up to me. That's for it. You know, anyway, cut somebody else's leg off, somebody else might die from it. That's not going to bother me. I'm telling folks, little did I know I was killing myself. You know, diabetes, especially combined with the drugs, oh, my God, what I study right now, the smoke inside your lungs with the diabetes is the worst thing you can have. That's why the first thing you have when you go, diabetes, they ask, do you smoke? And they say, I don't care if it's cigarettes, cigars, whatever. Crack smoke, all this, and your smoke is in your lungs with the diabetes, and it's crushing all this stuff. And I'm not taking no medicine. Even when I got diagnosed, I didn't take any medicine. So it was a silent killer for me. Like I said, when up to this date now, they had to take my leg because there was no veins. There was no veins in my leg. If you touch a vein, it goes right away. And our vein was all, it had to do a bypass. Once they did the bypass, it still didn't work. No blood was going to my leg. And they had 8 operations on my leg. And it's so painful. It's so painful. And they messed up on the 5th operation where my leg emerged. We was all happy. He got his leg back. And it emerged and... you know, they didn't know why it emerged. They messed up. I kept telling them when my foot was hanging down, and they never came. And when the guy helped me, he looked down. He said, Carl, get a doctor. I looked down on the floor with puddles of blood down there. That's when they had to take it. They scratched my leg and was scratching the vein. Wasn't about saving my leg, about saving my life. So they had to take that leg. And just recently, I just went today, and they couldn't find a pulse in my foot. And, you know, I got to keep it real. You just got to go. So I got prosthetic. I got my right leg. My left leg is so good, I'm getting a prosthetic leg for that. And then I talked to the lady. She said, don't worry, we'll get you another prosthetic leg for your right leg. So, you know, I'll be walking on the right leg. I won't give that away anyway. So I'll be having both legs. But in the meantime, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. Diabetes is a killer. And I'm telling people out there right now, and I feel sad for my son. He has it, and you know, not to tell them, and my wife has it. So we all, as a family, got to get nutrition. Mm-hmm. Get a nutritionist coming here to help us with our diet and what we eat, And my son said something deep. He said, Dad, I only can eat what you bring in the house. That was deep.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
That was deep. So Tone, and this wasn't even planned like this, but Ray is here, and Ray has diabetes, and we remember when he found out he had diabetes,
yeah.
And Ray had made tremendous changes. I mean, even to the fact of slave. Remember when Ray told us he used to smoke, and we didn't even know he smoked. He smoked cigarettes, and then you were saying about the smoke of the cigarettes in your lungs and stuff like that. So Ray, do you want to speak on it? I want to guide you in this direction. How important it was for Tone to get out here and tell a story,
yeah.
And for us to do community radio,
yeah.
You know. So,
you know, long story short, a couple years ago around Thanksgiving time, I got diet. That's when I actually took myself to the ER because I was experiencing a whole lot of diabetic episodes that I didn't even realize were related to diabetes when they were happening. And I wound up not going to work the day after Thanksgiving in 2015, and I drove myself to CMH. With blurred vision and could barely see what the heck was going on.
What was your blood sugar? It was some crazy.
It was 1,090.
Yeah, 1,090 on his blood sugar.
1,090. My blood sugar was so high that they couldn't even take my blood sugar with a glucometer. They actually had to draw my blood in order to even find out what my blood sugar level was. My first year as a diabetic, I lost about 80 pounds. I went from 365 to like 270 in the first year. And it was... You know, I had the support of V, I had the support of Slay, I had my pops, I had my brother, my wife. You know, I had some great people around me. Me and my brother started hitting the gym like crazy. I went on this really low-carb diet. I wouldn't eat carbs after a certain time of day. If it wasn't whole wheat or whole grain, I wouldn't even touch it. No white rice, no, you know, it was a life-changing situation. But even just recently, I gained some of the weight back. But even in my transition, my new doctor took me off my medication. And my A1C is pretty much at a normal level. And I might even consider pre-diabetic at this point. So now it's just continuing to use diet and exercise as my means of keeping myself healthy and things like that. And, you know, it's not too late for you and your family to get right. You know, diet is a big, major thing, especially in the black community. The main reason why most black people get diabetes is because of, you know, is because of health and not eating properly. But, I mean, because of radio and talking about it on radio and because of V and because of Slay and stuff like that, I've had people inbox me asking me how I did it, you know. What things do I suggest they stay away from? What things are great for diabetes? You know, I've given people pointers and links on different things that I've found that helped me along my journey. So, you know, the information is out there. And if you guys are on Facebook, feel free to add me. And any information I could pass on to you guys and make your family healthier and to beat this monster. Because like you said, this will take lives. Yeah. Diabetes is no joke. People think, oh, yeah, it's just the sugar and, you know, we can't have candy and cakes. No, this thing will destroy you. And actually, a lot of people don't realize that diabetes eventually, if not taken seriously, can actually begin to affect your heart and give you different heart conditions that will further put you on that path of losing your life due to this disease. It's no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Tone, you know he's going to get the clap.
He's got to get the clap.
So, I was just about to say, I got to give him the clap. Boy, Tone, you good.
Yeah, watch out, son. I'm coming for your job.
You coming for it,
Tone? He said, I'm coming for your job.
Oh, man. You know, Tone, this is one thing that we want to say is that before Ray found out that he had diabetes, like, it was one of those conversations that we didn't have in our community. And, you know, I think that when Ray found out, it touched us at home, so we started making sure that we were bringing in experts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's why I want you to talk about it and just let people know, you know, hey, we have to have this discussion. And your son says something beautiful, like,
yeah.
Hey, I only eat what you bring in the house. You know, so we got to talk about it. We got to make sure that we're living healthy for the people that might be going through things like this.
Yes, it's definitely a bad disease, and it's a silent killer. You know, that's the one main thing. It don't show up, but on the inside, it's slowly. Every time you do something, with the cake or with the drinking or with the smoking, it takes away, and like I said, it tore my veins up. I never got educated behind diabetes. I wish I did. And now I know about it. It ain't too late. You know, like I said, if it could touch somebody. I love his story, man. I want to give you another shout-out, man, because that touched my heart, what you were talking about and how you beat it, how you, you know, you one guy that you lost weight behind it, and you beat it. Yeah? And you're still exercising and dieting right. And you know, that gave me a little upper when he was talking. I got touched by it, and I'm learning from it. So, you know, like I said, the diabetes, I can't talk about enough of how it's, especially juvenile diabetes. My son asked me, you know, am I going to lose my leg like you, Dad? I said, not if you eat right, you know. And it's hard for a kid because they want potato chips and they want all this ice cream. That's what they want because that's what their friends are having. And it's a shame that when we eat the fried chicken and the rice and you're eating it because you're hungry, my fair self, but it's killing. It killed my veins, you know. And a diabetic, man, just like the other brother was saying, there's not enough information. There's information, but it's not like taken seriously. And it's so serious, man. It might be more serious than drugs. It really might be, you know, because it's going to kill you if you don't get a grip on it. And right now, I take my insulin and I make sure I do my finger sticks. And, you know, I see them talking about the HB1 count. Mine is down to 6.5. It was up to 14, and they're over 14, and they couldn't. They was like, saying, "Wow, you know." When I'm in the streets using drugs, I'm not caring about the diabetic stuff. Who cares about diabetic? I want another hit. And, you know, in the meantime, I need to take another shot of my insulin, you know. And this is over years and years and years and years and years. So it's tearing the inside, ripping my insides right out. And that's what it did. And you know, like I said, I got my right leg and it's going to take it. Because when you find no pulse, that means there's no blood. It's all about circulation of the blood. That's what diabetes is about. If your blood is not circulating right, this is where you start having big major problems. So there's no circulation going down to my foot. So it hurts. And but like I said, I'm proud every day, man, because I went through a lot of stuff and I got my life together. And I really did. I got my life and I just want to... say that the diabetic and the drug go together. And if you were on, I was on drugs, that was connected to the diabetes. So, you know, there's not enough to talk about diabetes. You have to get a lot of information on it.
Yes,
right,
sir.
Now I got books and I got pamphlets and, you know, the nutrition ladies coming next week as a family. We're going to go as a family. Because it's hard. I'm going to be honest. It's hard. You've been eating chicken every day, every Sunday, whatever, all your life, and you think that's what it is. It becomes a habit, you know, and that food is killing you. The wrong type of food that you put in your body is killing you, man. I want to let you know that if you have to stay away from all that stuff. Gary Dempsey, he helped me out a lot with the nutrition stuff, and I want to give him a shout out for that because he helps me a lot with that. So, you know, if I don't mess around and still keep doing, eating what I'm eating, you know what's next? We don't just run it off. I don't want to die. I want to give up before I leave this earth. I want to help somebody, man. Help somebody, you know, especially with the kids, man. I want to help them. And even juvenile diabetes is out of control, too.
I want to piggyback right there, Tone, before we leave. I'm going to give you a chance. We're giving you an opportunity right now to speak to everyone that's listening. And let's say that 23-year-old that might just first try, you know, the freebase or something like that. What advice do you have for them? Or what advice do you have to that person that might be diabetic, but they're not paying attention to it, or they're saying, "Oh, I don't need to take the medicine." What advice do you have to anyone?
Yeah, that's a good. My advice to them is, first of all, with the drugs, you just can't pick it up. You got to be around positive people. You got to stay around positive people. You know, you can't hold to peer pressure. And if you're in the grips of it, there's so many help. It really got to come within you to help yourself, that you really want to get help. Even when you really want to get help, it's still hard. It's such to have a grip on it. And I like what the brother was talking about, academic. Now, it is an academic because of the outside people are using, where at a time we were having the Heron, they've been pouring that stuff into our neighborhood down in Harlem and pouring all that stuff in our neighborhood. And we had an academic in our home, and home war. We have a war every day. And I like what he said about don't want to see. I'm a listener, and I like to listen and learn from people. And he said, you know, with your drug no war now, because of the academics, that they ain't forgetting about us. Let's take care of them. Let's take care, make sure they all right. No. Let's keep it right here and get all the help that we need. You know, and there's so much help. So my advice to the young people is don't try it. Don't tell my son, just don't even touch it. Don't even get involved with it. And you don't have to. The first thing, you don't have to, as a 23-year-old, you don't have to pick it up. And if you don't pick it up, it can't touch you. And with diabetic, you got to be careful. Go to your doctor appointment, get your test, make sure your sugar is not out of control. It should be between 80 and 120. That's what it's supposed to be. But if you're going to the bathroom a lot, you're urinating a lot, you're thirsty a lot, these are the signs of a diabetic. And tell your mom about it, and so you can go get some help before it turns into losing limbs and losing your life behind it.
Tone, thank you so much, man. Yeah, hold on. I want to let the fella say something to you on the way out, man. Where you want to go first? The honorable could go.
Just salute to you and your family. You know, this is not the end for you guys. My grandmother's 94, and she has diabetes, and she's living a very healthy life. So, you know, you guys can get through this. You know, you guys just being together and having the support just in-house is a big thing. So, salute to you guys, and thank you for telling your story. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Diddy?
Tone, I just want to thank you for telling your story on air. And what we do with special guests like yourself is we have a red carpet, man. It's the, you know, the Drive Time Show black card, where we're going to check in on you, and we want you to give us updates, and we're going to follow you, you know, through your whole journey to make sure, you know, you doing what you should, man, and you really... to help other people along the line, that we get to be a part of this process, so you know that you ain't in it alone.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Any last words, any shout-outs or anything like that, Tone?
Yeah, man. I want to give a shout-out to the great Vern Cross.
Oh,
Keep doing what you're doing, man. And shout-out to my son, who was 14, man, and he got my name. And if I keep, it ain't about me no more. Just keeping him happy, and I keep him happy for Christmas. You know, when you get that age, you got, it's starting to expensive. You know, two pairs of Jordans, $400. Then take off from there. But I really want to give another shout out to Gary, man, who is my best friend, Gary Dempsey. What a wonderful man he is.
Yes, sir.
I'm very thankful to have him as. They say he's my best friend. And, you know, you can count your friends on one hand.
Yes, sir.
One of them. And that's about it. You know, that's about it.
All right, Tone, man. We thank you again, man. Stay in touch. We're going to stay in touch with you. And, Tone, before you go, we're going to give you a clap on the way out, man. Because,
all right,
amazing interview,
thank you,
man.
Great
Bird. Yeah. So here go the clap, man. Thanks again, dog.
Yeah, thank you. It was beautiful.